Hey, welcome back, my friends, to the Conservative Cat Show. So do appreciate you being here this morning. It's a Saturday morning. You're probably waking up and you're like, whoa, this isn't cat's time. Yeah, no. Usually we do a daily show Monday through Friday and we hit the news and top headlines that you need to know about. So that way you're aware of what's going on in the world. But today we're going to do a different show. It's not necessarily going to be an easy show. It's going to be heavy. It's been heavy on my heart. I've just kind of been in the word and wanted to share some scripture with you. And, you know, it's been 17 days so since the Charlie Kirk assassination. And I know that we're all going to move on. And, you know, we're kind of getting past that mourning, that grieving. Some of us who might not have known him as well. You know, I met Charlie Kirk briefly at a TPUSA conference. And, I mean, I've told you guys that it really changed my life. I was always a Christian, but kind of lost my way in college. I worked for NPR and thought that I had to be somebody else in order to fit in. And I went to this TPUSA conference and it really changed my life. He told us to, hey, why don't you go to the worship service? And I wasn't going to go because I wasn't feeling all that great. But I remember Charlie, you know, the night before on Saturday saying, hey, you have to go to the worship service on Sunday. And it was held in Tampa, Florida. I go to the worship service and had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I wasn't saved right then and there. But the Holy Spirit, I mean, we are so lucky. Really, we are living in the best age. Like 2,000 years ago, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Right? They had Jesus. So I'm kind of jealous. But they had Jesus walking among them. We have Jesus. He's just in us. So we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guides us to him. So it's like we don't even have to, like, there's only one thing that you've got to do, and that is profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's all you have to do. And you don't even have to do that on your own because the Holy Spirit guides you to him. So it was incredible. Had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And then I'd say probably about a month after that, a month and a half, I gave my life to Christ. Best decision I ever made. So it's going to be heavy this morning a little bit. But we're going to be talking about scripture. And I think that every patriot, every Christian who has eyes, sees what's going on in the world. And you're like, whoa, is this revival? And we're going to answer that question here this morning. So we are living in a time where truth is treason. And when courage is treated like a crime. And when those who dare to speak the word of God or defend liberty are marked as enemies of the state, enemies of culture, enemies of progress. You're a bigot. You're regressive. Yada, yada, yada. And just 17 days ago, the enemies of truth struck Utah. So that was September 10th. And, you know, we're moving on and people who didn't know him as well might be moving on and past that mourning and grieving stage. Now we have to look at Charlie's life and legacy. And then we have to apply that to our lives and look at what scripture says about the way Charlie lived his life. And Charlie Kirk, he was a young man, gave his life to building a generation of bold young Christians. And this is a guy who stood in the public square, refused the idols of our day, and was assassinated for it. So he was shot while he was speaking with students. And now there's this whole group of young people that he has converted to Christ or has really got young people questioning and saying no to the idols of our day. And where do they go from here? You know, and he was speaking to students the day he was assassinated, and he was doing the very thing he was put on this earth to do, telling people about God, faith, country, family, truth. And I'll be honest with you, that moment, I mean, it hit me like a punch in my chest. We all knew Charlie stirred up anger, okay? And I knew that, like, people were angry with him. And, you know, yeah, establishment couldn't handle him. And the left hated him. But I never expected to see him gunned down, you know? And now that I've had time to process it, and I just keep reading Acts over and over, the book of Acts, over and over and over again. And it just is unfolding in front of our very eyes, this book. And, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. So I was wrestling with the loss, and my mind just kept going back to Peter, And centuries ago, he walked a very different path, but carried that same flame that Charlie Kirk had, and his name was Peter. So we're going to go back about 2,000 years. Peter, or Simon, was Simon, son of Jonah. He got the new name. Peter means the rock of the church. So Jesus renamed him. But Simon Peter, he was working the waters of Galilee, right? He wasn't a rabbi. He wasn't a scholar. He was just an ordinary guy. You might think you're an ordinary person. You know, I'm an ordinary person. I don't, you know, have this crazy, profound job like Charlie Kirk, TPUSA founder. But Jesus looked at him and said in Matthew 16, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." So Peter means like rock, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So a few weeks ago, we talked with Pastor Tim. If you missed that show, it's archived on YouTube, and you can always subscribe to the channel, and you won't miss a show ever. And I'm going to be trying to do these Saturday shows often, try to, you know, bring either scripture or whatever I feel like, you know, something that's been on my mind and I didn't necessarily bring you during the week because, you know, I want to make sure you get your news. I'm going to be doing these Saturday shows. But Pastor Tim, a few weeks ago, he was on the show and he was talking about the gates of hell. Those are people. And the windows of heaven, those are people. And it's spiritual warfare. So we have got to beat the gates of hell and not let them prevail. And he said, "Peter, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." So Jesus knew what was inside Peter. Strength, yes. Fear, doubt, impulse. And that's what makes Peter's story so much like our own. And we wouldn't be where we're at today, and Charlie wouldn't have been where he was at today had it not been for Peter some 2,000 years ago, okay? So Simon Peter, the fisherman from Galilee, he was a rough guy. You know, calloused hands and the smell of sea on him, chosen by Jesus himself to be a fisher of men. Think about his story. Jesus found him on the water casting nets. And in just two words, Peter dropped everything. "Follow me." That is what Jesus said. And he dropped everything. He didn't run a poll. You know, he didn't check to see, you know, if this was a popular opinion. See, today with the information age, cell phones, we are able to figure out pretty quickly what's popular and what's not. But Peter dropped everything. He didn't check to see, you know, if it was popular or not. He didn't hold a strategy session. He just obeyed. He followed. And, you know, that's the kind of courage that starts in small steps. When you say yes to God's call before you know where it leads. And, you know, I know Darren Bailey has announced his gubernatorial race, and everybody has been messaging me and saying, "Hey, Kat, who do I vote for? I mean, I feel like there's a ton of good candidates." One thing that I don't see in all of the other candidates, and you guys know me, I say Christian conservative in that order. I'm going to vote for the Christian, somebody who says, you know, and professes Christ. But Darren Bailey, really, I see the spirit. He's not checking to see if he's popular. He's not checking up on the numbers to see if this is the way he should go. He is just answering and obeying and following the call that he has on his life. Okay, the courage starts in the small steps, and that's leaving the farm, leaving his comfort zone. He's not checking to see how popular he is or how popular his lieutenant governor is, Aaron Delmar. He just said yes to God's call. And this is what I see as a voter, as a potential constituent. I just see him answering God's call, and that's admirable. And above all else, I don't care really so much about policy or differences. Above all else, are you going to answer the call of God? And are you going to go wherever he leads you? Are you going to listen to the two words, "follow me"? So Charlie Kirk, I think his whole life, he was listening for those two words, "follow me," and going where Jesus led him, going where God led him. Now, Peter wasn't perfect. Darren Bailey isn't perfect, right? But Charlie Kirk wasn't perfect. Remember the courtyard? I want to talk about Peter here. And I remember reading just last night, and like I said, I've been like in Acts and just thinking about Peter since the Charlie Kirk assassination. Like, it's just been on my mind. And I was like, okay, I got to tell my listeners a little bit about this. So we remember in the courtyard, Jesus had been arrested. He was dragged off to trial, beaten by soldiers. And Peter, the bold one, the one who had like this enormous faith, and he swore that he'd never abandon Jesus. And he swore, like, I'm going to be with you till the day I die. I'll die with you if that's what I have to do. And this is the same Peter. He stood by a fire. And then, like, this servant girl. So it's so beautiful. Scripture. I mean, this was a servant girl. This wasn't even anybody all that popular or, like, known. She asked him if he knew Jesus 3 times. And he denied 3 times. That he never knew the man, that he never knew Jesus. 3 times he said, I don't know him. And you guys remember that night, you know, when Jesus, if you read the scripture, you know, Jesus was arrested and he swore he'd never leave Jesus. Yet 3 times before the rooster crowed, he denied him and denied even knowing him. Okay, so I couldn't imagine the shame in that moment. It must have been pretty unbearable. I can kind of imagine a little bit. I try to put myself in his shoes. I told you guys that there was this story, Isaiah 6:8, here, whom shall I send? Send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. That's the premise of that scripture. And so I was sitting next to a couple of colleagues of mine, and we were doing this like wedding expo. So it was like a thing where brides could come to the DoubleTree, and then they were going to all of these different venues and booths, and they're trying to figure out who's going to cater their wedding, right? And we were there, we had a little booth set up, and there was across our booth a tarot card reader. Okay, so all the brides were wanting to get their future read, and like, it was just, it freaked me out, it creeped me out. I didn't realize how mainstream tarot cards are. It was like the first time I've ever been like exposed to it. I thought it was just what weird people do in their basement. No, this is pretty mainstream thing now, I guess, tarot card readings. So brides were getting their tarot cards, you know, read, their future read. They were drinking, you know, drinking all kinds of tequila, going, you know, trying to find their food caterer and tasting food. And, like, definitely sitting there, I was like, man, this really isn't the way God intended marriage. Like, what God had intended for marriage. Like, it's not about the boozing. It's not about the tarot card readings, right? It's something that's very special, that's sanctified by God. But anyway, so the tarot card reading was there. My colleague had wanted to go get his tarot cards read. And he was like, yeah, I just need, like, some direction. I need, like, somebody to tell me where my future is headed. And I just kept thinking to myself, don't say anything, like, don't say anything, Kat, you are going to get into trouble. And I was just like, I don't know. And I told him, I go, well, I know I find, you know, great peace in knowing Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I had said that, but I didn't, you know, I really wanted to ask him, like, hey, can I pray for you? And I never did, because I just felt awkward and weird, and I felt so much shame because I didn't do that. And the Isaiah 6:8 verse, I didn't really know that verse. It's a memory verse for me now. I didn't really know that verse until that day, actually. So he's gone over, and he went over to the tarot card reading, and I really wish I could have stopped him in some sort of way. I think if I would have asked him, like, hey, can I pray for you instead, that would have been like my shot, you know. So he goes over, reads the tarot cards, and then this guy comes up, a totally separate guy, with his little wife, or bride-to-be. And then they come up, and he's got a hat, and it says Isaiah 6:8 on it. And I didn't know the verse, you know, off the top of my head, but I looked it up on my phone. I was sitting there, and it says, here I am, Lord, send me. Right? So the Holy Spirit, I mean, this was definitely a God moment where God was trying to say, do it. I'm sending you. Do it. And I denied him. He told me to do something, and I completely denied him. And I've had to deal with that shame, and it is almost unbearable at times. I remember getting in the car, calling my husband, crying and saying, I let God down. I denied him. He told me to do something and I didn't do it. And, you know, that's, I try to put myself in Peter's shoes there. So I know like what that's like a little bit. Maybe that's happened to you before. But I couldn't imagine, you know, what Peter went through here, where he denied God knowing him 3 times. I mean, it must have been an unbearable moment. But the story doesn't end there. That's what's beautiful about this whole thing. Okay, so after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus meets Peter on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, right where it all began, right? So poetic. It's just so flipping beautiful, right? The scripture is so cool. So it's like he meets him on the shores of the Sea of Galilee as a fisherman. And like, it's just, yeah, here they are, right where it all happened. John 21, something beautiful happens. He says, when they had finished using, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, Jonah, I think he's Simon, son of Jonah, I think he said, okay, Simon, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And that's John 21:15. And 3 times there in scripture, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Right? And he affirms 3 times. And 3 times Jesus commissions him to go feed my sheep, tend to my flock. And this was forgiveness. This was restoration. And this was calling all wrapped up together. Okay, so, you know, I've had to deal with my own shame in denying God and denying what he's called me to do a few times. And you have to repent and ask for forgiveness. And then this grace almost like gives you a real kick in the ass, if I could say that. it gives you this grace that Jesus gives you. It's just it is just a kick in the ass to just do what he calls you to do. And from there on out, I mean, Simon never denied Jesus. We're going to get to the death of Simon Peter. We're going to get to the death of him. How many times have you done the same thing? Right. And I just told you a personal story about how that happened to me, where I denied God and what he was calling me to do. And he did it in such a like profound way. I know it seems little, but a guy with a hat that had a Bible verse on it, I was like, wow, that's really supernatural. And despite this supernatural thing happening and me recognizing it as a supernatural thing, I still didn't do what he asked me to do. So we might be standing in our own courtyard, right? Our boss might ask us, you know, hey, put your pronouns in your bio. Well, you know that, you know, in Genesis, it says God created man and woman. You know, that's wrong. You know, that's not the truth. But you put your pronouns in your bio anyway. You know, that's denying the truth. When the school tells you, keep silent. You know, when the pressure mounts and then we shrink, we deny with silence. Okay, silence is surrender. And we're not really listening to the follow me, do as I say. I'm calling you to do this when we're just silent. I think that's more so what we do. Now, Simon Peter, he denied Jesus out loud 3 times. I think we're living in a time where people just deny with silence. So Christ restored Peter. You know, like I said, after the resurrection, he pulls him aside to the shoreline and he asks him 3 times, do you love me? And 3 times he says yes. And then he gave him a mission. And then Peter was transformed. So we fast forward to the Pentecost now. This is Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit descends like tongues of fire, filling disciples with power. And who stands before the crowd? There's this huge crowd. Peter, you know, and this was a guy, like I said, it was a servant girl who came up to him and asked him if he knew Jesus. Like, this wasn't a king. This wasn't somebody who was going to put him to death. This was just some girl on the street asking him if he knew Jesus, and he denied him 3 times. This is the same guy. So after that grace, after that forgiveness, you know, Pentecost, He's filled with this Holy Spirit and he goes before this huge crowd. Here it is in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Smash that like button. Share this out with your friends. Subscribe to the channel. If you're watching, I wanted to share some scripture. It's just been on my heart lately and since Charlie Kirk's assassination, really. So then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed this crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Gosh, it feels like this is repeating again, okay? What happened at the memorial service where people are singing and throwing up signs and signs with Bible verses on them. There's just the Spirit is pouring out on all of the people. So Peter preaches this to 3,000 people, right? Or this crowd, this huge crowd, and 3,000 people were baptized this day. He preaches with such fire that people want to go get baptized. That's courage. That's transformation. So when the day of Pentecost came, the same guy who trembled by that fire, the servant girl came and asked him to, if he knew Jesus, that guy, and he denied Jesus 3 times, that same guy stood before thousands of people proclaiming the gospel with boldness, and 3,000 souls were saved that day. So from there, Peter went on preaching, healing, defying the authorities, and when told to be silent, he said, we must obey God rather than men. That is what he said. And that is courage. That is the absence of fear and obedience despite fear. Okay. So friends, that's exactly what Charlie Kirk modeled. Charlie, he knew that the culture hated him. He knew that the left hated him. And he knew that the media would smear him. He knew the elites sneered at him. But he stood up in front of all these young people, thousands of young people. I witnessed it back in April at Illinois State University's campus. Stood up in these arenas and at these colleges in front of thousands of young people and told them about the truth. He said, marriage is between a man and woman. That is the truth. That is what scripture talks about. Life begins at at conception. That's what scripture talks about. America is worth saving and Jesus Christ is Lord. And that takes the same spirit that transformed Peter. And really through the grace, I think that is what gave Peter such boldness. And it's not really your personality. You know, you might not think that you have a personality to be so bold, you know, a personality to tell your boss, you know what? No, I am not going to put my pronouns in my bio. Tell the HR department. No, there's man and there's woman, right? You might not think you have that personality or that bravado, but it's conviction. And that conviction comes through Christ and through grace. So I can tell you right now in my own personal life with that Isaiah 6, the guy with the hat and me denying what God called me to do in that moment. Since then, I've been more convicted because I know I am forgiven. Even though I denied, I know I am forgiven, and that's going to, you know, lead me to do even more for Christ because of that grace and because the Holy Spirit is there to help me. Okay, now tradition tells us that Peter was eventually crucified in Rome. Nero, this is a mad tyrant. He burned Christians, used them as pretty much human torches in his garden, by the way. And this guy ordered the death of Peter. Okay. And Peter, feeling unworthy to die in the same way that his savior died, they were going to crucify him on a cross. Okay. He actually requested to be crucified upside down. Whoa. So imagine the courage it takes to face death, but not only face death, but still preach hope and still preach. Like, he was preaching about Jesus up to the moment he died. And until his very last breath, he was like, yeah, I'm just not worthy of being crucified in the same way as my savior. And I'm going to request that I get crucified upside down. Like, that's huge. The Empire thought that he could, that they could silence this tyrant thought that he was going to be able to silence Peter. But in the way that he died, even like that, we're still talking about that today. And, you know, he was spreading witness, his witness even further into the future because of the way he died. We know the way he died, and he wasn't even going to let death end his testimony. You know, so he knew, like, okay, if I'm crucified upside down, they're going to have to talk about why I was crucified upside down and what I had requested. So his test, it was the seed, the blood was not the end of his testimony. That was the seed of the church. He was a Christian martyr. And Charlie's death echoes that truth. Okay. This is a guy who pulled the trigger, whether it was Tyler Robinson, alleged assassin. He pulled the trigger and he thought he was going to end his voice. Okay. But now we have to talk about how Charlie Kirk died. And his witness is going on even further beyond the blood. Okay. And that is the seed of the church. Martyred Christian blood is the seed of the church. So the assassin just made Charlie Kirk's voice louder. So millions who never listened to Charlie, and I'm getting messages all day long, like every day, ever since Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Hey, you know, I've been listening to Charlie Kirk. I've been reading about what he said. I've been watching some of his speeches. And, you know, I just don't understand what made this guy such a target. You know, what was it about Charlie Kirk that he was made out to be such a, what was so dangerous about him? The answer is very simple. He just spoke truth in an age of lies. So friends, Charlie's death is a modern reminder of what Jesus told his disciples in John 15. Here's what they said in John 15. Jesus, and this is in red, if the world hates you, keep in mind they hated me first. Now that's not comfortable, but it's reality. When you speak the truth in a dark world, the darkness is going to fight back. So we can't miss what God is doing here with the Charlie Kirk assassination. And, you know, we've mourned, we've grieved, but we can't miss what is continuing to happen after this persecution. Persecution has always been the devil's hammer. And every time he swings it, the church is not crushed. It's actually multiplied. And I think that the church is going to get multiplied, multiplied, multiplied. And from the catacombs of Rome to the house churches in China to the blood-soaked soil in Nigeria, the pattern is the same. You kill the messenger, the message only grows stronger. So Charlie's blood joins a long line of martyrs. Simon Peter, right? And yes, I will call Charlie a martyr, not because he was perfect, but because he was slain for standing up boldly in the public square and professing truth and speaking truth to a world that didn't want to hear it. So not because he was perfect or sinless. That's not what a Christian martyr is. It is somebody whose blood is poured out in the public square for speaking truth. Okay, now I want to talk directly to you, speak directly to you. If Christians in Nigeria can stare down machetes, and that's what's going on, they're getting macheted, they're beheaded in Nigeria, Christians. If believers in China can risk prison, and they're coming up with these churches and their houses, and they're sneaking the Bible, and if Peter can face the Romans cross and request to be crucified upside down, if Charlie Kirk can stand before a hostile crowd in Utah, knowing that there was threats on his life, what excuse do you have? And I am guilty of it too, my friends. I've talked about it with you personally. I mean, that was just one instant, but there has been times where I have denied God and what he's called me to do so many times. And that grace just needs to fuel you. You know, we shouldn't tremble before the Twitter mob. You know, we shouldn't bow down before your HR corporate department. We can't deny Christ with our silence. And you might not think that you're denying Jesus by just staying silent and like, I'm not going to say anything. You know, it's really not my place. Or are we going to rise up? And I tell you, you know, what the church doesn't need. It doesn't need cowardice. It doesn't need cowardice disguised as compassion. It doesn't need pastors who are worried more about their Yelp reviews and their tithes and things like that, you know, than their own flocks and, you know, teaching them these things. It doesn't need politicians who sell out the truth for a pat on the back from the New York Times. The church needs Peters. The church needs Charlies. The church needs men and women of courage. And that courage doesn't actually come from us, which is like so crazy to me, that God doesn't even really ask us to do anything. You know, it just comes from the Spirit of God, in which he's given us since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. So our courage doesn't come from us. It comes from Christ in us. So here's what 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says. The Spirit of God gave us, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So Peter failed kind of really up until, failed until Pentecost. And then he never failed really after that when it came to professing Jesus. Charlie was just another kid until he surrendered his life to Christ and let the Spirit move through him. Okay, so he surrendered his life to Christ, let the Spirit move through him, and he was able to draw all these thousands, not because Charlie did it, but because the Spirit of God did it, the same Spirit that is available to each and every single one of us. And here's the rub. Courage will cost us something. Cost Peter's life, cost Charlie's life. It's going to cost us our friends, our jobs, and maybe even freedom. But what's that compared to the eternity? What's that compared before standing before our Lord and hearing the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? So let me close with this. Let's not waste the witness of Peter. Let's not waste the sacrifice of Charlie Kirk. Let's not cower to these cultural, to the cultural rot that we're seeing here in our world. It is time to live completely unafraid, to speak truth without apology. It's time to raise up our children in a world where the word matters. Okay. So Peter's story did not end at the cross. Charlie's story does not end with a gunshot. The story does not end with silence. We are part of the same movement, the same mission, the same kingdom, and no bullet, no tyrant, no empire can stop what Christ is building. And there is a revival coming. I'm so excited for it. The gates of hell will not prevail. And one more piece of scripture, and then I'm going to end out the show today. I just was wanting to pop on for a brief 30 minutes, but subscribe to the channel, hit the like button, share this out. If you guys want more Saturday shows, I can do that for sure. Send me your super chats. We are going to further the mission here at the Conservative Couch Show and Patriot Pump Energy by building out our website, making sure that we have references available for you via our blog post, you know, the daily show. I use a lot of news articles and I have exclusive stories sometimes. So I want to be able to provide you those all in one simple website. Send a super chat or visit patriotpumpenergy.com and use promo code conservativecat for $10 off. It's an amazing pre-workout you can buy. Fruit punch flavor is the best. But I want to end with this little bit of scripture. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Man, if we could say that, that would be all I would need in my life. This has been the Conservative Cat Show. God bless you. God bless America. And above all, God bless the truth that no assassin's bullet can kill. Appreciate you being here. Subscribe.